Yada.
When.
Na.
Not.
Pashyate.
See.
Ayayata.
Unnecessary. Guna itam. Endeavor to satisfy the senses.
Svaarte.
In self-interest.
Pramata.
Mad.
Sahasa.
Very soon.
Vipaschit.
Even one advanced in knowledge.
Gatasmitihi.
Being forgetful.
Vindati.
Gets.
Tatra.
There.
Tapan.
Material miseries.
Asadya.
Getting.
Maitunyam.
Based on sexual intercourse.
Agaram.
A home.
Agyaha.
Being foolish. Translation, even though one may be very learned and wise, he is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. You can please repeat, even though one may be very learned and wise. He is mad if he does not understand that the endeavor for sense gratification is a useless waste of time. Being forgetful of his own interest, he tries to be happy in the material world, centering his interests around his home, which is based on sexual intercourse, and which brings him all kinds of material miseries. In this way, one is no better than a foolish animal. So purport by His Divine Grace, Śrīla Prabhupāda, Śrīla Prabhupāda Ki Jai. In the lowest stage of devotional life, one is not an unalloyed devotee. Anyabhilashita shunyam jnana karmad yanavratam. To be an unalloyed devotee, one must be freed from all material desires and untouched by fruit of activity and speculative knowledge. On the lower platform, one may sometimes be interested in philosophical speculation with a tinge of devotion. However, at that stage, one is still interested in sense gratification and is contaminated by the modes of material nature. The influence of Maya is so strong that even a person advanced in knowledge actually forgets that he is Krishna's eternal servant. Therefore, he remains satisfied in his household life, which is centered around sexual intercourse. Conceding to a life of sex, he agrees to suffer all kinds of material miseries. Due to ignorance, one is bound by the chain of material laws. So, yudana pasyat yayatha guneham swarte pramatta sahasa vipaschit gatasmati rivindati tatra tapan Asadya maitunyam agaram adyaha. So, Om Ganata Madanda Shah, Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshura Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, this word madness and also insanity is used in many places by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. So, of course, madness can be understood in different ways. We're not talking about a clinical definition of madness right here. What Lord Rishabhadev describes as madness, actually later on in this chapter, Nunam Pramata Kurate Vikarma, Yadindriya Priti Apranoti, he says, Nunam Pramata Kurate Pramata. That same word is used here in this verse, in the second line, Pramata Prakriti Rupena, which means Basically, mata or mata means mad, not in a clinical sense, as I said before, but insane, which is different than just mad. And I'm going to give the definition of insanity in a second, quoting from the great Acharya Einstein, because he actually understood what insanity was, not in the spiritual sense. Anyway, so one who considers the senses is very, satisfaction of the senses is very important, which is pretty much the same thing that's happening in this verse. Nunam pramata kurutevi karma yanindriya pritya, indriya pritya. One who considers the senses very dear, then he commits to all sorts of activities which are called vikarma. That means, vikarma means activities which cause misery in this material world. There's karma, which are activities that elevate one in the material world or alleviate misery. And there's vikarma activities which cause misery against the regulated principles. So, anyway, so insanity, according to Albert Einstein, the great Acharya, is that one keeps doing the same thing and thinks that they will have a different result. Isn't it? So that's a really important definition of the word insanity. Because not only does one keep doing the same thing and thinking they're having the result, but one sees other people doing the same thing and thinks that he will have a different result. And of course, there's another verse that mentions this. In the Mahabharata, this is a verse from the Mahabharata spoken by Yudhisthira Maharaj. Yudhisthira Maharaj was having a conversation with Yamaraj, our good friend Yamaraj, who we've gotten the darshan of many times. And Yamaraj asked Yudhisthira, this is a conversation, it's called a rhetorical question. A rhetorical question is when a teacher asks a student a question, even though the teacher knows the answer to the question. You understand? Like if a teacher says, how much is one and one? Obviously, or hopefully, the teacher knows the answer. So rhetorical, in order to teach. So Yamaraj asks Yudhisthira Maharaj a question. What is the most wonderful thing? And Yudhisthira Maharaj answers with a famous verse, and I'm sure you've all heard it before. Ahani ahani bhutani gacchantiya yimalayam. That ahani ahani, again and again, gacchanti yimalayam, that we see people going to Yamaraj. He's speaking to Yamaraj, and he's also saying, we're seeing people going to you, basically. In other words, we're seeing people dying. And then, kimaschara tapuram, that how wonderful it is that we see everybody is dying, and we think, what? We're not going to die. That's the most amazing thing. Described by Yudhisthira Maharaj to Yamaraj. The most amazing thing is we see these things. In other words, as described in this verse, we may be very learned and wise in a theoretical sense. That is, you know, if you ask someone, you know, does everybody die? Everybody will say yes. I mean, any sane man will say yes. Of course, nowadays, there is some propaganda that utilizing modern scientific procedures that you're going to be able to live, not even forever, but a longer life. You know, what a miserable way to live. Just prolong a life that's useless and painful in this material world. But anyway, so anyway, any sane person will say that everybody dies. You know, death rate is 100%. That's just the way things are. And not only that, not only observing death, that's obvious, you know, what do they say, death and taxes. Taxes aren't actually obligatory. Many people get out of paying taxes. So not only that, but we see people endeavoring in other ways to become happy, and we don't see people becoming happy by doing that. You know, which is one example here is, you know, the example of the relationship between men and women. You know, people endeavoring, and who has become happy by doing that? I mean, you just don't see anybody, except in the movies. I mean, if you watch a Bollywood movie, you'll see people becoming happy, but that's just the movie. So as they say, you know, life imitates art. So sometimes they say art imitates life, but in the modern world, life is attempting to imitate art. Art referring to the media. And this media is polluting people with the illusory impression that they can become happy in this world. And the most painful thing is to see this happening in India, where people are naturally religious. I mean, it's one thing in the West where people are naturally like animals. You know, that our natural propensity in the West is just to simply pig out. You know, if it feels good, it's good for you. That was the philosophy during the hippie years, isn't it? If it feels good, it's good for you. I mean, that's kind of crazy anyway. Even scientifically, that's not a fact. There's many things that feel good that are really detrimental to your physical and mental welfare. Many, many things. Such as taking drugs. It may feel good in the sense that you're relieved from your misery for some time. Or, you know, people would take this, what was it called, LSD, and they would have some amazing experience, seeing colors and everything like that. And, you know, it would feel good in the sense that it was like going to Disneyland without having to pay the fee. You know, really, people had visions. It's not just, I'm just not just making this up. I mean, you could read the history or don't try it yourself, of course. So it felt good, but it was terrible for them because it fried their brains, destroyed so many brain tissues. So it's not the same. Anyway, so the West, there's this particular philosophy, and we're exporting this illusion, this madness, that you can be unhappy in this material world to India and to the rest of the world, of course. And then India, of course, has its Bollywood films, which are imitation Hollywood, even worse than Hollywood films. Why do I say worse? Because Hollywood films, even though there's so much nonsense and garbage in it, usually there's some hero who sacrifices his life for some higher cause, right? Even though, you know, you get garbage in the same time. So it's like, even if you look, like we have one disciple who's very much interested in superhero films. I won't mention who that is. And he walks around with superhero shirts on him sometimes. So, but these superheroes, you know, they always sacrifice for some higher good or die at the end. I mean, it's really, I trace that out to the influence of Christianity in America. Because you have Lord Jesus Christ, what does he do? He dies for the sins of the people, for the disciples. So he's self-sacrificing. So it's a very Christian thing. Whereas when the media or the concept of sense gratification becomes presented in the media in India, they don't have these heroes who are self-sacrificing anymore. It's just plain old sense gratification. So in other words, I'm just trying to make the point that Bollywood films are worse than Hollywood films. And I've seen some of them. Not that voluntarily, I was stuck on planes and had to see them. So I know exactly what I'm talking about. So, anyway, so that's insanity. That we see people doing the same thing, and they've never become happy, they've never continued living, they've always died, they've always been in anxiety, but we think it's going to be different with me. And then we try the same thing, and we're unsuccessful millions of times, and we think next time we'll be successful. Like I gave that example yesterday in class. Like Chitraketu, he married 10 million wives. You know, he tried to have a child or son with one, and then another, and then another, and another. You know, just, you think he'd give up after the fifth wife? I mean, it's logical, isn't it? Because you think, you know, five, all right, I tried, it's not going to work. Or you have, you know, in America you have what the Elizabeth Taylor method of serial polygamy. You know, in America we don't allow polygamy, parallel polygamy, we allow serial polygamy. Serial polygamy means one after the other. Parallel means all at the same time. just to fill you in what I mean by those terms. And so, you know, she tried, she didn't become successful. Or even Jacqueline Kennedy, or any of these people, what to speak of Henry VIII, you know, the founder of the Anglican Church, which is right now trying to figure out whether they should have women bishops. That's another news issue for you. It's interesting how many religious institutions now are struggling with the position of women in the institution. And so the Anglican Church is struggling now. Anyway, I'm not going to talk more about that. But the point is that, you know, Henry VIII, he tried, you know, some of the wives he had to kill because he hadn't formed the church by that time. And he had to follow the Catholic Church, which didn't allow divorce. And some of the wives he divorced later on after he formed his Anglican Church. But he still didn't become happy. So anyway, so you find all these examples of complete insanity. And even in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, you find people who have association with Lord Chaitanya. I mean, direct personal service with Lord Chaitanya. And they're presented the philosophy by Lord Chaitanya. And they're traveling with Lord Chaitanya. Yet still, they leave Lord Chaitanya's association thinking they can enjoy this intimate association between men and women. The example, of course, I'm referring to is this Krishnadas. Krishnadas was the servant of Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was touring South India. And Lord Chaitanya, he just took one servant with him. He didn't go with a lot of people when he was traveling. So what happened is that they came to a place where there were a bunch of, I guess in India it would be called like gypsies. And they were called Bataharis. Batahari. Is interesting. And they dressed up as renunciates. These Bataharis, you know, types of gypsies. They would dress up as renunciates, but actually they were just interested in illicit life, basically. Just like in India, you had this one so-called guru, and I'm not going to mention his name because that would be impious, who advocated illicit life. And he came to America. He was actually quite popular. And he died from AIDS. Anyway, he also got in trouble. He was so lusty, he wanted to have, 365 Rolls Royces he asked his disciple to get from. They only got up to 200 of them before he died. So you had these people, so-called dressed as sannyasis, religious people, and they would lure people to their camp by having some of their lady followers attractive. Even in America, in the 1960s, there was one group who actually used that. You know, used women. Don't mention their name, please, because it's not pious. They actually said, you know, we want to bring people. It was a Christian group, not a Hare Krishna group. We want to bring people to our society by, you know, having women have illicit life with them. Not women, girls, you know, because they were all young at that point. So this Bataharī group was something like that. So what happened is that they lured Lord Chaitanya's own servant. You know, remember, he's right with Lord Chaitanya. Obviously, he knows the philosophy. It's not that Lord Chaitanya didn't preach to him. I mean, you know, obviously. And he was a Brahmin by caste. And so they lured him. They sent some of their ladies out, and they just dragged him by his senses into their camp. And then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered that his servant was gone. And so he went to the Bataharī camp to rescue Krishnadas. And it's interesting that these so-called spiritualists, they started to attack Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with their choppers or their blades or whatever they used at that time. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, he had his own method of defense that was better than judo. You know, in judo, you use someone's power against them. You know, you turn it against them. Like if someone's attacking you, you use their momentum to flip them. When someone knows judo, they don't actually flip someone. They use someone's own momentum. That means the the energy which one is exhibiting to come at you, and they just like have the person flip themselves. It's interesting. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did the same thing. He had these Bhattaharis had all these different weapons, and these weapons began to attack the very same Bhattaharis. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu facetiously said to them, look, you're in the renounced order of life, to these Bhattaharis. Obviously, they weren't in the renounced order of life. They just made believe they were. You're in the renounced order of life, and so why are you harassing me by taking my servant away? And then he dragged Krishnadas back to his lotus feet. So there you see someone who is in complete knowledge, you know, obviously understanding everything and becoming insane by sensual attachment. Which is very, it's actually quite interesting to see that. So that should be very humbling for us too. Because we are certainly, at least I'm not on the platform of Krishnadas, you know, Lord Chaitanya's personal servant. So we should be very cautious in dealing with Krishna's material energy. Because, of course, if one is a pure devotee, that's another thing. If one is a pure devotee, one is in the platform of Anyabhilashatachunyam, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says in his Shikshashtaka, in the fourth verse, Nidanam Nijanam Nisundarim Kavitam Va Jagadisha Kamaye. It's an interesting verse. He says that a pure devotee, because this, the fourth verse of the Shikshashtaka actually is the first verse in the Shikshashtaka that indicates pure devotional service. The first three are getting there. You know, Cheto, Dharma, and Marjanam, glorifying in general the holy name, how it brings all auspiciousness and happiness, you know, we've been hankering for. And then that Nam Nam Makari Bahudar Nijasarvat, the second verse, which glorifies the potency of the holy name and how one should have attachment for the holy name. The third verse, of course, tells us Trinadapi Sunichena, Tororapi Sishana, that one should be very humble, be ready to serve others. But the fourth verse is very explicit as far as pure devotional service. Nidanam Nijanam, one who is actually a pure devotee, is not interested in what? Dhanam and wealth, Janam, followers, or big family, same thing. Or Sundarim, beautiful, sometimes described as beautiful girls or ladies or anything beautiful in this world. I mean, also in a larger sense, it can indicate anything that's attractive in this world. Like, sometimes people think, I want to go and see the mountains. What is it? Mountains, majesty, or beautiful, or spacious skies, or whatever it is, you know, the American anthem. Purple mountains, majesty. Purple mountains. Anyway, so I never liked purple anyway. Or, you know, see the beautiful ocean. Things like, you know, we have all these attachments. It's not that if you're just not attached to beautiful girls or handsome men, that you're free from attachments. If you're attached to any attractive, gross, or subtle feature of this world, even a sunset, you know, even being attached to seeing a beautiful sunset and everything like that can keep you in the material world. It's interesting. And someone asked me the question about someone else. They said, did they go back to Godhead? And I said, if they had the little tinge of material desire to enjoy anything in this world, you know, this person died. I said, they're not going back to Godhead. They'll get a chance to execute devotional services, Krishna says in the Gita, but to go back to Godhead, you can't have even a tinge. That's an interesting word that Prabhupada used quite a bit, tinge, which he also used here in this purport. You can't have even a tinge. Where did Prabhupada use it frequently? The unalloyed devotee, tinge of devotion. So you can't even have a tinge of any expectation of hope of enjoying this material world to go back to Godhead. In other words, you have to become Twam Akinchana Gotra. That means without any expectation. And a perfect example of that, I'll give you one example, a very interesting story from the Bhagavatam, is someone who actually learned their lesson that there's no enjoyment, And that's from the 11th canto, story about Pingala the prostitute. Pingala the prostitute, not that I normally tell prostitute stories in class, but Pingala the prostitute was, anyway, she wanted to go to work one day and make money. She needed money. And so she hung out in the street corner, like they usually do. And all night long, she was calling people over. You know this story? I'm sure some of you heard this story. All night long, she was calling people over, you know, and nobody came over. I had that same experience on Sankirtan one day. One day I became very proud, and I was bragging how what a good devotee I was in Sankirtan. And I wanted to show off to all the other devotees, so Krishna just smashed me. So for 8 hours I was calling people over. Nobody even gave me the time of the day. But it's not that I gave up preaching because of that. So Pingala, she was calling people over all night long, and eventually nobody came. And she gave up hope. And so the story is that this was an Avadhuta Brahmana who's telling the story. Avadhuta Brahmana means someone who is just like the wind, detached from the material world, and is explaining how he became detached from the material world. So that one of the ways he became detached was by this observation. And he observed Pingala and how she became frustrated, gave up hope. And so he also said by this observation, he gave up hope. Of course, I wish it was so easy for us to observe, like we said, talked about before, honey, honey, bhutani, gachante, yamalayam, to see how everybody dies thinking that, you know, I'm going to die, but the most wonderful thing is we can observe and we don't get it, like in terms of realization. That's also described by Prahlad Maharaj in the 7th canto of Bhagavatam, where he says, what is that? Matirna Krishne, paratosvatova, mitopadgyad padyeta, graha ratanam, adanda gopir vishatam tamishram, punak punas charvita charvananam. And that's, it says, matirna Krishne. If one's mind is not fixed on Krishna, matirna Krishne, then nothing will help him. Paratosvatova, even if he has, you know, good advice from others, hey, Prabhu, you're in Maya. Don't do that. It won't be good for you. You know, you suffered before. Even if he has good association, good advice, but if he doesn't, matir na Krishna, if he's not interested in Krishna, paratos vatova, mitobit padyeta graha. So he's taking a determination, graha vratanam, just like we have our dridhavrata, that means firm determination to become Krishna. So grahavratanam, to enjoy this body and this things pertaining to the body. And Dantagopir Vishatam Tamishram. He becomes ignorant, which is what's described here in this verse. And then Punak Purnas Charvita Charvananam. He keeps doing the same thing. Or literally the translation is what? Chewing the chewed. Chewing the chewed means something you've already chewed, like bubble gum when you were a kid. You know, you chewed all the sugar out of it, and you keep chewing it. Ain't no more sugar. So that's the point. So without Krishna consciousness, you can hear about all these things, how the material world is frustrating, keep doing the same thing, you're going to be miserable, it's not going to do you any good. Because the mode of ignorance will overcome you, unless you actually become Krishna conscious, unless you give your heart and devotion to Krishna. Krishna Surya Sama Maya Hoya Andhakar. Krishna is the sun. So unless you're in the sunlight or in the light, you'll be in darkness by definition. The definition of darkness, darkness in and of itself is not a positive thing. It's a negative thing. It's the absence of light. Of course, in the hippie days, they had these lamps that were just like, what, dark lamps? What do they call again?
Black lights.
Black lights, yeah. They weren't actually black lights. They just gave off like ultraviolet light to cause things to glow. But if one does it, there's no such thing as a dark light. In other words, a light, That's a burnt-out bulb, for those of you who don't know. So darkness means the absence of light. It's not a positive thing. So when you have light, you don't have darkness. So the only way to get out of darkness is to have light. Hare Krishna. And that means to be always absorbed in Krishna's name, quality, pastimes, form, Krishna Katha. So that's what I find in my own life. Is as long as I'm hearing about Krishna, then I'm very enlivened, there's no anxiety, I'm happy, and all those things. As soon as we start doing other things like reading the news, or which is very attractive to us in the material world, the news is just very repetitive too, then all this anxiety and distress comes. As soon as we start thinking about other things, the whole thing is Sivai Mana, Krishna Padaravindiya. Fix the mind on Krishna, keep it.